Hey folks. Hello everybody. Welcome. Susan Baracco here. Happy Wednesday. Hope all is well where you folks are. Thanks so much for joining us. If you would just type a quick hello in the chat so I know that you're able to hear me properly. Got a good group on today already. Beverly, good to see you. Hillary, glad you're here. Katie's back again today. Hello there. Yes, thanks, Leslie and Beverly, for typing in the chat. Leslie, good to see you. Margot, glad you're here. Suzanne, welcome. Ooh, maybe it'll be an all-girls chat today. Wouldn't that be fun? Hi, Hillary. How are you? Welcome. Welcome, welcome. It is the top of the hour, but I want to give other folks a chance to jump on here. So we're starting with our usual just for fun. And I would love to hear what the most beautiful place you've ever visited is. And Leslie says the Grand Canyon. Oh, spectacular, isn't it? I've flown across it many times in trips back and forth across the country. And every time I'm just wowed. Never gets old. Just beautiful. So many places I've been that are beautiful. Sometimes it's hard to narrow it down, isn't it? Beverly says Florence, Italy. I was ready to move there. Isn't that so true? Italy is spectacular too. And I, and Tuscany. Yeah, I could move to Tuscany. I think Ed could start a compound in Tuscany because with all of us folks who love red wines, especially Italian wine, I can understand being ready to move there. I've been through that too, where you go someplace and just think, I'm home. This is where I want to be. All right. Sharon and Karen have joined us. Hello there, ladies. And Nicole, glad you're here. Marsha has also joined us. Hey, it's an all girls crew today. Angelique, welcome. That's kind of fun. We could have some special fun today. Good. I'm glad you ladies are here. All right. Well, I am going to jump right in and get us started because there's a good number of you here today, which I'm really happy about. Eva, glad to see you. Just jumped on, I think. And Nick is here too. Welcome, Nick. You're our token male so far today. So welcome. Hey, folks. So I want to start with a win. And Nicole's in London, Ontario. Welcome. Is it still winter up there? I'm in Maine and it's pretty close to winter still. Still feeling pretty cold here. Please type in the chat if you've got something fun and exciting for us to celebrate with you. And small wins are just as much fun. So type in a W. And anything that's gone well for you in the last week or so that really, that you're excited about. And Nicole says rainy and cold. Yeah, it has been here too. For this time of year, it's been rather chilly. So Leslie says your client research job for an engineering firm. I proposed the project and the owner went for it. Wow. Great win. Congratulations. And research job. That sounds really neat. I think you may have even talked about this a little bit, this project the last time we were on the call together. So congrats. Glad that came through for you. Eva says she contracted with a new social media client yesterday, started a different new project with a safety consultant. Eva, you are on fire right now. You've just been really, really got some fantastic momentum and congratulations. Keep that going. Keep that going. Margot says, I now have three new clients plus a higher paying project with an existing client. Awesome. That's great. This is why I love sharing the wins because people get excited about this. So, and I'm really excited to be able to celebrate that with you, Margot. That's cool. And other people will be hopefully inspired by what you folks are seeing. Karen says you're working on positioning, realize you had a blind spot on an easy to reach potential client base. Great. Congratulations for being able to find that blind spot and recognize it. That's really, it's hard to do on your own. Sometimes it takes someone to look at it and say, why don't you? Ed did that for me several years ago, and he suggested that I focus on working with women. And I was scared to death to do that, but turned out to be, one of the best things I ever did. So congratulations. Yeah, I had a blind spot there too. I just didn't want to see it. So Angelique, client needed a translation through an agent. I offered a combination and both client and agent were happy with it. Great. That's exciting. Nicole says, you finally set up a meeting with the communications team for a local college for later this month and got an assignment from a national magazine. Wow. Great news. That's a nice win. Suzanne, you got a call from a newish client yesterday to say how delighted they are with your work. Yay! That is a massive win. They hadn't been in touch as they didn't need to be because the work was so good. Hooray! What a huge boost to your confidence. Isn't that great? You know, Ed and I are working on a program for all of you and for a couple of his groups that addresses confidence. And one of the things in there that we're going to be talking about is the fact that success builds confidence, but you can't have success unless you put yourself out there and get started. So sometimes it's hard to take that first step and to put yourself out there, but congratulations, because that's just, you know, that just must feel fantastic. So good for you. Beverly, a little update on your handwritten letters. They've garnered two replies, one call today and one meeting at a convention next month, hoping for positive outcomes to both. Congratulations. I love hearing about the handwritten letters. Who is it? Ann Handley, who I'm a big fan of, is also a fan of snail mail because it's so personalized snail mail, something handwritten. So good for you, because it's proof that it's getting attention for you, and that's terrific. And you don't have to send out hundreds every week. You send out a handful, and it's amazing. Your top targets, and I think you'll be surprised. So looking forward, Beverly, please keep us posted on how those come out, how that all works out for you. Angelique, you cracked the nut of positioning. Next step is on its way. Yay! Yeah, the positioning thing can be a real stumbling block, isn't it? But good for you. Nicole said, also stuck to my guns on pricing for a rush project. Didn't get the job, but I'm okay with that as my plate is already pretty full. Good for you. Good for you. Yeah, that's a mindset shift for us too, isn't it? When we get to a point where, okay, instead of trying to please and do everything for everyone, now we can kind of step back and say, you know what? Now I'm holding the line. It's so good for you to stick to a higher price and then not getting the work. It's okay. You're too busy to drop other clients. That's a good thing. It's always good. Nick says, I quoted higher fees to bigger clients per our conversation last week. One said yes, and the feedback on the first couple pieces was great. This was really, really well written, like the best thing anyone has written for us. Holy moly, Nick. Yay. Yay. That's terrific. What great feedback. Great feedback. This is a rocking group. I love it. Sharon said, working with a new client, my first ideal client, they get marketing and what I could do for them. Terrific. Isn't that nice? Oh. Makes working for them a joy. It really turns things around when you can start collecting those kinds of clients who just like you and appreciate you. It's awesome. Beverly said, Ann Handley was my inspiration. I write every week anyway, but that was my excuse to move it into my business. Good for you. Yeah, she's just such a big fan of that. And I happen to agree. I started doing handwritten notes. Every time someone refers me, whether I get that referral to turn into a client or not is irregardless. I actually handwrite a thank you note. I have, and I get some reasonably inexpensive custom blank notes made up, and it's a picture that I like, and I'll put a little quote from me on it or something and my business name on the back. You can get them for pretty inexpensive through places like Vistaprint, which is where I get my stuff. And I have maybe, I don't know, 25 of them made up. They're not super expensive. and get them in chunks, because that way I can change the picture when I feel like it, depending on what I have going on. But then I handwrite a note and just saying thank you for the referral. It's the, you know, the core of my business. It's so important, and I appreciate your confidence in me. So I just say something like that, and, you know, please let me know if there's anything I can help you with in the future. And sending out that handwritten note, oftentimes I don't hear back, but it's okay. It's really okay. It just makes me feel good. And you can, that makes a difference. People are more comfortable. That helps to build that trust. And so I think it's a great idea. The tough part is people don't necessarily always have their, depending on how big their company is, it can be hard to find mailing addresses for people. Sometimes you have to ask. And I like to send the cards kind of as a surprise. So it doesn't always happen that way. All right, let's jump in here. I am going to ask very briefly if anybody's got anything in particular in the program that they're implementing right now. Sounds like, Beverly, you're obviously implementing handwritten letters to see how that works. That's awesome. Anything else that you want to share, please type in regards to that, in terms of like how many you're doing a week and that kind of thing. Give us all in the group an idea of how that, you know, how you're managing those handwritten notes. That would be great. But anything else that anyone is implementing, maybe something a little different, a slightly different approach, maybe something that's in the training program itself. Maybe there's something in the trainings that you're finding is new and you're new to you and you're trying it differently, doing something differently. Just type in an I and anything that you would like to share. Just like to see if there's anything in particular that people are working on. Some folks are still focused on positioning. I'm seeing some of that in the chat. Some folks are working on websites a little bit, tweaking some of those things. Eva said you're working on warm email prospecting for a bylined article and changing up my word, warm email prospecting. Good for you. Good for you. Beverly, thank you so much. Beverly says that she's sending out about 10 letters per week and finding the names and addresses from the exhibitor list from the next homeschool convention. That way, when I go there, I should see people who remember me from my letter. Perfect. That's brilliant. Great way to do it is to introduce yourself ahead of time and to even go to these people and say, oh, by the way, did you, you know, just want to say hello? Did you get my letter? It's a great way to open a conversation. So good for you. Great idea. Love that. Suzanne says she's working on positioning. Leslie is editing your LinkedIn profile. I need to update my media. Just listen to your webinar. Great. Great. Yeah, LinkedIn, you know, is a moving target, unfortunately, in terms of the fact that it changes, I'm going to say weekly, to be fair. They just changed the layout of your profile again in the last, I would say, a couple of weeks, which is interesting. It doesn't change anything in particular in terms of the information that's shown or anything like that, but they've just kind of rearranged the layout. And I think they're going to continue to kind of play with some of those things. So, but yeah, thanks for sharing that. Nick is qualifying buyers and pricing, also starting to look at retainers as a client was hinting at it. Ooh, don't ever avoid that conversation. Jump on the retainers. You get enough of those and you start to get into a rhythm and life just changes. It really just makes such a big difference. You can exhale and still prospect, but exhale and know that you're, you know, that you're comfortable and able to focus on your work. It makes a big difference. So good for you. Angelique, next step in positioning. Margo, working on improving my productivity, improving my focus with morning meditation, and trying to do better with 50-20-50 work sessions. Awesome. Great, great plan, Margo. And keep us posted on Facebook. Let us know how that works for you. And if there's any other way that you know, Ed or I can come up with any other ideas to help you with that. Hillary is LinkedIn, revising your profile, and then on to prospecting. Great. Karen says she's read The Happiness Advantage, identified my 5 strengths, using these to keep my attitude positive and not feeling as burned out as I was. Productivity is easier now. Good for you. Good for you. Nicole is working on developing my ideal week for next week. Just started the program. That's very cool. And that's along the lines of the productivity that everyone else is talking about here. And Margo said, meditation is definitely helping your focus. Good for you. Marsha's continuing to send warm emails. No jobs from that, but getting over a 10% response rate. So I have some people I can get back to. And three people who say they're mulling projects that might want to work with me. Great. That's terrific. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. And thank you so much for being so willing to share and being active in the chat. That just is better for all of us, everyone who's here. So, and I know a couple more people, I think, have joined us. Just take a quick look here. Jeff, welcome. I didn't see you come on. And Tanya, I think you came on as well since we started. So welcome. Glad you guys are here. I am going to dive into the question format. As always, keep your question focused and specific. One question per person, and then I can come back around to you. We've got a pretty good group today, but definitely have your questions ready. I don't usually have a problem getting you folks to come up with questions. So, and as a matter of fact, I have a couple of pre-submitted questions. I'm going to start with those. Hold on just a minute. Let me pull those up. And Tanya, I saw that you're here. So I'm going to read your question so that people have a background and understand what your question was. And it's the two questions that I had pre-submitted. Suzanne, you're here as well, and I got your questions. These are all in and around positioning. And so I'm going to suggest that you pull out the handout on positioning. I'm going to refer back to that as I talk to these and help you to kind of figure some of this out. But I'm going to start with Tanya. I have trouble choosing a target market. My background is a PhD in linguistics, and the types of clients and industries I've written for are sleep, which is considered health and wellness, language education, and a little bit of education technology and presentation software. An obvious choice seems to be AI, but the problem is I don't have any technical background, nor enough experience writing about it to understand if it's something I would enjoy. I had one not terrific client in the conversational AI space, but not enough for me to understand if I like it. When I was writing my consolidated list, AI for education, special needs, and basically AI that makes people's lives better seemed to attract me the most. But are these too narrow to begin with? Should I go a little broader in order to find out what I like and where I have better chances of finding clients? If so, how broad? So Tanya, great question. You have a really technical background, I think, you know, it's a PhD in linguistics, but I'm actually going to unmute you and let's see if we can help you get you on track. Hello there, Tanya, are you there?
Yes. I'm here.
Hi there. Thanks so much for the question.
Thank you. There might be some background noise because my kids are around. So I apologize for that.
I hear that. Not a problem.
6 p.m. here.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about the AI, and because it sounds like that's really where you're leaning right now. And tell me a little bit. You do have a little bit of experience writing for that space?
Not really. I had one client which I wrote a web copy for them, and I didn't enjoy it, but maybe because they were not a really great client, you know, it took a while to get payment from and weren't pleasant to deal with.
Got it.
So I couldn't figure out if it's something I would like to continue. It wasn't an nice experience. Okay. And then I have another client who are doing, I don't know if it's actually AI or not, but they're selling presentation software to businesses.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the couple of things that I would like to think about, and this is for anybody who might be struggling, because I imagine that there's a couple of folks that are working on positioning and continuing.
Sorry.
Hi there. That are continuing to work on positioning. Mm-hmm. So I am going to... Where are you, Tanya? Hold on. All right. I may mute you Yes, just so that fine. People can hear me, and it's not a problem that when I'm done with the thought.
Yes, I understand.
No problem. I just want to make sure that you can hear it as well as everybody else.
Yes.
So, not a problem. And so I have two fur babies, and they bark half the time when I'm on the phone, so it's understood.
I can't hear anything.
All right. Not now. They're they're both sleeping. Getting back to your background.
Oh, no, I can't hear anything.
One of the first things that I recommend, and this is, again, for anyone who's struggling with positioning, is to think about what your background is and to think about, is the education that you have, the experience that you do have, will that be impressive to the people that you're looking to target? And it's not so much impressive, but valuable. So for you, Tanya, in particular, you have a background, PhD in linguistics. I think that that's a really good fit. I don't know a lot about this industry. I don't know a lot about this technology in terms of what would be of value. But for me, I look at it as, don't worry so much about that you haven't written too much for that particular target audience, but look at, is my background and my education, is that going to be of value? Will I be able to position that and talk about that in a way to my target audience that they'll say, hey, this woman really is going to be really going to understand what we're trying to accomplish. And I think there might be a fit there. And so that would be the number one thing to look at. And then the other thing is, you also asked the question of, is it too broad? Is it not broad enough? I think that going too targeted might be a problem in the beginning. I would recommend that you go just be a little bit more broad and talk more about all different types of AI. So you might start by positioning yourself as, a linguistics professional with an interest in, or, a passion for writing about all things AI that make people's lives better. That might be your approach. So anybody that's then underneath that, anyone who's within education or special needs or any of those types of things might then find you look at you as a really solid resource. So keep it AI, but based on what you know and what you know about linguistics. And I think that might be a good place to start. And then see how it goes, because Ed and I often talk about, is that you're going to pivot, you're going to grow, you're going to expand and maybe change a little bit, pivot a little bit as you start getting some experience under your belt, as people start responding and you start learning. You don't know if you're good or enjoy white papers until you write one, right? Something like that. So you've got to, even if you don't have a lot of that experience directly in your background, it might be worth heading in that direction anyway. And Tanya, I don't know if I lost you. There you are. Are you there, Tanya?
Yes, I think my connection is not that is not good. So some parts I missed, but I'll play. I'll be played later. Thank you. So I guess that was my feeling, that I should go broader.
Just a little
at first.
Just a little. That AI to help make people's lives better. That's still AI, so it's still somewhat targeted. And then maybe talk about, I'm really focused on the technology or software, or, maybe talk about including these areas and really help to kind of focus on that.
Okay. So just AI would be too broad, right, as a target market?
I think that it feels like that's, you would be able to answer that better than me simply by looking at, so is it AI? Are you targeting the people who create that or the people who use it to do something? I mean, there's a couple different kinds of industries within AI. Maybe there's an industry within AI that you really want to, it's not necessarily people who create the software or the technology, but maybe it's the companies that then turn around and use it. So there's a couple different layers of companies that you could focus on. Is, I love education and special needs, and so with an understanding of AI, maybe you focus on the companies that actually use that technology as opposed to the companies that create it.
Right.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well,
you're very welcome. What I would recommend is you just kind of put a stick in the sand and start and see how it goes. Because I think once you start reaching out to people, I think you're going to find out pretty quickly that you need to tweak it, you know, if you want to go in a slightly different direction or that kind of thing. And deciding on, you know, the one thing for me with positioning is always the need. Is there a need in that, within that industry or industry, you know, vertical, that tech, maybe it's education. Is there a really big need in education for writing services? And that's something that you'd have to dig in and discover.
Yeah. Okay.
So keep us posted, please, on on Facebook. You know, give it a try and head in that direction, and just keep us posted. And don't hesitate to come back here and say, okay, here's what I've discovered. And you know, if you need more support on it, don't hesitate to come back and ask again.
Thank you, Susan.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Awesome. And Suzanne has a question about positioning also. And let me just take a quick look here. All right. So Suzanne says her question is, I have 10 years of experience working in the arts, which overlaps into entertainment, TV, film, etc. I've never thought about writing for this area before, but when I looked at it, I have plenty of contacts, but there isn't much funding in this area in this country. And it doesn't seem to meet the complex, extensive, or innovative criteria. And that's from Ed's worksheet on positioning. But I don't have the contacts there. Should I just eliminate it and move on, or am I missing something? And then a follow-up question, she says, I have three very different markets. If I choose three very different markets, like healthcare, weddings, and events, and what I'm currently calling sociopolitical organizations, is it going to be difficult to position myself correctly across these three different areas? Will I be spreading myself too thin? Again, good questions, Suzanne. And I see you're on here twice, Suzanne, in my, I'm not quite sure how that happened. So I'm going to unmute one of you and hopefully it's you. Hey, Suzanne, are you there? No, let me try this one.
Ah.
Hey, Suzanne. I think you're there.
Yeah, that's it.
Hello.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's interesting to me as I read through your question, certainly the first half of the question about entertainment. And so what country are you saying that there doesn't seem to, this country doesn't seem to want to pay? Is that, are you talking about the US or?
No, so I'm based in Ireland.
Ah, okay.
And we're kind of a country that's kind of renowned for the arts. But there's not a lot of investment, and because it's quite small, I suppose. I mean, if we look at, so I used to work as a stage manager, so I've worked for theaters, I've worked for theater companies, I've worked for dance companies.
Oh my goodness! Okay, okay.
I've worked in film. I've worked in TV.
My goodness! Okay.
I've done like awards, all that kind of stuff. So when I kind of laid it all out, I was like, "Geez, there's an awful lot here," but at the same time, I mean, in terms of say like our indigenous film industry would be very small. So then I was kind of thinking, well, okay, well maybe I could target people outside of Ireland, but I wouldn't have contacts there. All my contacts are there.
Right. Right. And so, I think you asked that question on Facebook too, in the Facebook group about, do I need a lot of contacts? Was that you? Maybe not. Maybe it was someone else. Is it important to have a lot of contacts? That might have even been Tanya. I know. I thought one of you asked that question. You know, I think that this is one of those questions that is, again, the bottom line when I look at positioning, the thing that stands out and is the most important for me is the demand. Yeah. Is there a demand? Because what I wouldn't want anyone to do, you or anyone else, is to knowingly go into a target market that, you know, just may or may not have a demand, and waste time, important time and energy and perhaps money as well, trying to get attention, trying to find clients, only to figure out a couple of months down the road that, wow, this really is just not what, you know, not the right direction for me to head. So the first thing I would do is to go out and research, Google or search on writers for the film industry or for entertainment, entertainment writers, and see what comes up, see how many there are. And and see, because they would be your competition. And to see, you know, are you impressed with what you find? Are you, you know, what are you seeing? Do they still look like maybe they're hungry, hungry writers? You know, and you can kind of get a feel for that in terms of like the confidence that they project on their websites and in, even in the writing that they do, if they've got a blog, kind of go in and kind of just make some assessments on what you're seeing there to see, gosh, maybe it's a passion of yours or you've got all this amazing background, but it might just might not be the right market. So I just don't want you to go into a market that you already know may or may not have a big demand. You know, so if you take that off the table, and then your follow-up question, you start thinking about, okay, now I'm thinking about maybe expanding into three very, very diverse, very unrelated markets. Tell me a little about that and where that came from. I mean, do you have experience in any of those, or are those all just things that you're, that you have a, an interest in?
So I actually went through the whole exercise, basically the whole of today. I've been working through this. Because I worked in the arts, I've kind of worked, I suppose, temporary jobs in other areas as well. And then when I set up writing 3 years ago, I just, it seemed that wedding kind of stuff came in quite a bit. So I've worked for wedding florists, wedding photographers. I'm working with a milliner at the moment, and a bridal boutique. So that kind of, that's, that kind of emerged. And then I suppose I was kind of thinking, well, okay, I've done the event side of things for, you know, like film festivals and, you know, award ceremonies and stuff. So maybe I could bring that in there and focus on weddings and events. So that was that, that kind of, that's just emerged since I went full-time as a copywriter. The other one is health. That's something that I actually am really interested in, and I'm doing a lot of copywriting in that area at the moment. Dentists, dermatologists, stuff like that. So, and obviously that is a big area. There's money there. I know there's money there. It's kind of solid.
And there's a, but there's a demand. There's a huge demand there. And that's part of why it's not that when you go out looking for your competition, if you think there aren't many people in as competitors, that could be a red flag. That's why I say just be, you know, be mindful of that. And how do they look? Do they look like a ragtag bunch, or do they look polished and accomplished and that kind of thing? So, you know, you kind of have to assess what you see when you're looking at competitors. But one thing I wanted to go back to, because I like the idea of healthcare. I like the idea of you doing that only because it is a big market. But I also want to go back to your arts background, because it, there's so much strength there in terms of, you know, the 10 plus years you've got in that space. I'd challenge you to think a little bit differently about that. And so maybe think about, what if I marketed myself to professional speakers and maybe professional coaches, business coaches, life coaches, things like that. So I'm basically taking my experience in entertainment and understanding what sells to the public, what is consumed by the public, and I'm applying it to and helping professional speakers, perhaps professional entertainers, different types of people, individuals, that might want to have your understanding of that industry applied to their social, their outreach, such as the, all of their social media, all of their email campaigns, everything. You know, maybe look at it, okay, yeah, I bring this background, but maybe I'm applying it to a different subset of people, as opposed to writing in the entertainment industry or in the film industry, is now taking that and helping individuals. Like, yeah. You know, speakers might find that very attractive.
Yeah, very attractive. That is true. And I have done, I enjoy writing speeches, and that's something that I have kind of done. And I'm working with a children's entertainer at the moment, and that's going really well. She's really happy with the work I'm doing for her. So
great.
I suppose it's just, I think I've probably got too much diverse experience.
I agree. But we don't want to dismiss all of that. And that's why I'm trying to figure out, is there a way that we can then apply that? So, and the reason I say that is I was just looking, I think I just connected on LinkedIn with a woman who was in TV here in the US for years. And she positions herself as a coach to help people who want to be on TV. So she's no longer, you know, helping, she's no longer on TV herself necessarily, but she does speaking. And then she teaches other speakers how to knock it out of the park when they're, you know, in an interview and things like that. So I would challenge you to just kind of rethink how you might repurpose, if you will, your experience. Like, okay, so I've got this background. Again, who would find this valuable? What are the kinds of audiences that would find it valuable? And you know, there may be a number of people out there that might find that valuable.
Brilliant.
And the same thing with even in healthcare is I wouldn't shy away from. I see a lot of people come through these programs, and I look at a lot of websites, do a lot of the website reviews, and it's really incredibly helpful for me to see, because some people are looking to pivot. So in other words, you've been in entertainment, but now you really want to focus on, let's say, healthcare. I think that there's a really elegant way to write about your background in terms of, okay, so now I'm changing from that, and I'm supporting healthcare individuals, but what I've learned through that, what are the things that, what are the skills that you've brought with you from working in that industry that you could apply then to your new clients, that your clients might find of value, that might be a benefit where they hadn't, you know, is there a way to present that so that when they land on your website, they see, oh, wow, she's got all this background. That's really interesting. Maybe that it makes that connection. It's of value to them.
Yeah. Okay, great. I shall have another thing.
But narrow it down. Don't mix too many. I would hesitate to mix too many of the healthcare, weddings and events, and social politicals. Pick one of those that you think has the most potential and that is going to pay the most, honestly, right now, and see how far you can take that.
Yeah, focus in on it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Great. Absolutely.
Okay, thank
good.
You.
Good. Good luck. And same thing, come back here next time if you need more support, or don't hesitate to post on Facebook if you need some more support and feedback.
Will do. Thank you, Susan.
Good luck. All righty. Awesome. You know, it's funny because we talk a lot about pivoting and, you know, try one direction, try it for a little while, see how it goes, see what kind of response you get, what kind of demand there is, and then pivot when you need to. I actually was on LinkedIn today updating my profile and adding some more keywords and making some additional changes. And I've been at this for a while. I've been at this for like 6 years. So I am not, done. I'm constantly expanding the way I think about what I do. Who it might interest, who might find it of value in terms of what I do and what my background is. So don't hesitate to, don't be just set on any one thing. Allow it to evolve over time. But, you know, put a stick in the sand today and start there and then let it evolve over time. And I think you'll find that it is a work in progress, a constant work in progress. All right, so I'm going to get back to the Q&A and jump into questions. Sharon posted a question about editing. How do you price your editing? I find it takes more time than predicted. Copy editing versus rewriting. Anytime I copy edit a page, it takes more time than I anticipated, especially when rewriting headlines. Yeah, no kidding. All right. Sharon, let's see if I can find you. Sharon, I'm going to unmute you. Hey there.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
Great. Thank you for the question.
I thought this was right up your alley.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is. And I honestly, there's a number of things when you're editing. And so this is short form, I take it, because it just from what you've written here, is this short form like a page? You're talking about a page at a time?
So maybe just like a really quick scenario of what happened recently. I was doing a landing page for a website, and the website's kind of a mess. And so I said to the client, well, you know, I'll go in. I should not use the word just. I'll go in and, you know, tidy up the pages that you've got in there. And then once I got in there, it was just basically a hot mess. And, you know, so what looked like on the surface a very easy job ended up being really time consuming and, yeah, not cost effective at all.
Oh no, I bet. So did you have access to the website prior to giving them a price? Were you able to see what you were getting into, so to speak?
Yes. Okay. They're in the learning experience.
There you go. It's okay. That's what you were here for, right?
Yeah.
So in a situation like this, I would definitely take the time and, as I always like to suggest, is kick into consultant mode and talk about strategy. Because if you're looking at that copy and you're going, oh my Lord, this is just a disaster. Yeah. And they really aren't, they've got a mixed message. It's not clear. You're getting no value out of what you see on the website. Then I would say, okay, there's three different things I can do for you. And they build on each other. So I can just clean up the language you have out there and leave it as is, which would take you, what, 10 minutes maybe? Mm-hmm, you know, maybe. Because you really just want to literally make, you know, full sentences or however you want to fix it. But that's just a basic fix. That would be your cheapest option. And then the next thing would be to maybe fix based on if they, because this is a great way to do it too, is to say, you know what, I'd like to understand your marketing strategy, because then I can fix it based and put it in line with your current market strategy. And then the third is, if you don't have a marketing strategy, then we can develop that, and then I can fine tune your writing.
Right.
So, because you want to be on the same page with them anyway, right? You really want to understand, well, what's the ultimate goal here? What are you trying to accomplish with your website? What do you want it to do? Who is it speaking to? Is the audience clear? All that stuff that we know all about. So that's how I would approach something like this, is say, you know what? Thanks so much. Took a look at your website. There's three different options you can choose from. I can just go in and fix it. I can fix it according to your, or maybe two options, fix it according to your strategy, or if you don't have a strategy, then I'll help you develop a basic strategic outline or marketing message, and then correct the copy based on that.
Right.
And that way it allows you to charge more too, because you know it's going to take time. You know, this is what ends up happening. You get really stuck between a rock and a hard place with a web copy in particular, because you think, oh, well, I've only got five pages and there's only, you know, maybe 100 words on each page, maybe 200, but you read it and you go, oh my gosh, it's a mess. It's just so poorly written. You could tell that, you know. Who knows, maybe the high schooler they hired to do the website actually did the writing too, and that's cool, except no, it doesn't work. So that's the challenge, is that you feel stuck between a rock and a hard place with saying, oh, well, I'm going to charge you $1,000 to do this, and they're going to flip out saying, $1,000? What are you talking about? This shouldn't take you very long, because it's not, there's not a lot to it. But then you find yourself in your position, where now I'm sitting here saying, oh man.
Yeah, and plus the client had written it himself.
Okay.
So that was already a red flag of, I shouldn't be going near this.
No, there's nothing wrong with going near it and helping them, as long as you approach it with that consulting, that strategic consulting angle. Is just come in and say, look, I need to know what your strategy and your messaging is before I do any editing. And so one, I'll follow your existing strategy and rewrite based on that. Or two, I'll help you create a strategy and rewrite. And so that allows you to, and maybe you just say, hey, what is it? And it's going to automatically, you already know that this person, this company has no strategy, because you can look at the website and see that. And if you look at their other social media platforms as well, if they happen to be on Facebook or LinkedIn, you're going to look across all the platforms and see just a jungle out there,
right?
As opposed to consistent, well put together, well thought out. So that would be my suggestion, is to make sure that you're really thinking about this from a strategic standpoint. Don't be that factory worker who just wants to, you know, you're looking at this very, piece by piece, widget by widget. It's not that simple. It's much more complex, especially today. You know, 10 years ago, even, the websites were so different than they are today. And the way we think about them and the way we use them are different. So, you know, don't be afraid. If you're going to be editing web copy, don't be afraid to dive in and understand. And for those of you who I've reviewed your websites or had, you know, been able to take a look and give you some feedback, that's kind of where I come from, is that, you know, what's your message? How are you, you know, what do you want your clients to be excited about? And what's going to capture their interest and suck them in? And if your website's not doing any of that, then you need to decide how that all should work before you go writing your copy. You know, you really want to understand that. And that, we take that same philosophy and apply it to your client.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Well, good luck. All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
It's me. All right. So let's move on. Thanks, Sharon, for that. All right. Nick, you're next in line. I have a client who asked me for the following. How do you arrive at the quoted price? How many hours are you estimating? This is in the context of telling me to get started on the first part of a potentially large project and not rejecting the higher pricing I quoted. Not sure how I should answer that. That's a really interesting question. And Nick, if you're available, let me just take a quick look down here. Let me see if I can find you, Nick. I'm going to unmute you. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
I'm okay. I may have to jump off this in a second. It's starting to monsoon here.
And, oh, no. Okay. Yeah. Where's here? Where are you?
I'm in Bangkok.
So I just want a little bit of background. And if you have to jump off, that's okay. I'm going to just go ahead and I'll
thank you.
Finish my thought but a quick question for you. Now, did you already give him a proposal? And he's asking these questions?
Yeah. So, I mean, he's an IT consulting company and he's actually a friend of a friend. He's got his own client outside and he's going to redo their website for them. They're like an oil and gas company.
Okay, so he's subcontracting you.
Exactly. And he wants me to work on other projects with him too. So he basically just said, tell me what the writing part will cost and then I can make a proposal to them and we can bid for the job.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so I maybe that's actually where he's coming from, is just how can he justify it.
I understand. Him
what it would be. And he came back and he said, well, can we just give them one or two pages as a sample? And I kind of kept in mind what you said last week. And said, well, I can't really do spec work, but I can break off one of the pages for you and just, you know, do it as like a mini project and we can start there.
So sure. Okay. Okay. Huh. So are you getting a sense that his client isn't going to want to pay that price? Is that part of it?
I don't know. I have a feeling he's more savvy than they are.
Ah,
so he might have to wind up justifying it.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought I was going to kind of go the right route of saying, well, I don't really quote hourly. Like I'm basically quoting on the value of what I'm offering. And I also do benchmarking for a part of a writer's group. So
absolutely. I would roll a couple things into this. Is to say, I do use hours, but not in a scientific way. So in other words, I'm estimating about how many hours I think it was going to take me, but there's several other parts that come into play as well. How long do I think, you know, what kinds of things do I see from my experience that have come up in the past that I want to include some dollars for. So in other words, you know, how many times is the client going to come back and ask questions? Are there interviews that I might have to do? Is there other research? You know, this includes, and it's not all just hours, but it's also, you know, I'm covering the cost of what I know is, you know, I'm being competitive in the marketplace. And, you know, that's part of it too. So it's not just hours. It's just looking at this as a whole entire project, start to finish. How many times am I going to be on the phone with you or this client? How many changes are going to come back and forth? What am I willing to tolerate? And I'm building all of those types of things in. And it's not just straight hours, but it's also, and I would also throw in something along the lines of, you know, what market going market rates are right now. And like you said, benchmarking.
I'm sorry, I missed that very last thing that you said.
Market rates, current market rates. Okay. You know, what are these projects? You know, what am I seeing these projects price out at? And then the benchmarking that you mentioned too. I think all of that is valid. And if he's an IT consultant, think about what he might build in and use that too. Say, you know, think about your own projects and how much extra you build in to make sure that you're covered. I do the same kind of thing.
Right. You know, yeah, that's actually a really good idea. Okay, thank you.
He'll understand that.
Yeah.
A little hit home for him. So
I do what you do.
pretty much. It's just you do technology, I do words. But it's all the same. It's a project, right? And we approach projects the same way.
Okay. Cool.
All right. And good luck with the rain.
It's really coming down. All right. Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome. Awesome. Great question. All right. Great question. Yeah, sometimes it depends on who you're dealing with, but turning things around a little bit like that is just saying, you know what, I do the same thing you do. We both are working on projects. We're project-based. You don't charge by the hour, and neither do I, but you build in for extra unknowns that you might encounter. And so I do that the same way you do. And that might be just enough. All right. Let me see. I don't see any other questions right this minute. Nicole was talking about being a generalist. I think that's really interesting. She's saying she was trained as a journalist, so I'm comfortable doing lots of research and asking questions. All right. It's a labor of love, yeah. In Canada, most arts organizations are on a shoestring. And, you know, most arts organizations are that way everywhere around the world. And so they're, you know, they're not, except for the really big, well-funded ones, there are a few, but a lot of organizations are just shoestring. So that's very true. But it's interesting because being a generalist can be, and good for you that it's working, but it's... the whole approach that Ed takes in regards to being a generalist versus being a specialist, if you will, or being in a particular industry, a target market, is the whole idea behind that is to differentiate yourself and to be able to put yourself as a one-off, just a little bit different from the hundreds of thousands and thousands of writers out there. How do I differentiate myself in that marketplace? And as a generalist, if it's working for you, then I would say, you know, continue to do that. But generally speaking, we suggest that you find that core differentiator. Like I was talking earlier about, hold on, where's my question that I think Tanya had, and she was talking about being, you know, having a PhD. If you've got that kind of background or you've got that kind of experience, it's really key to include that, and it can help differentiate you and could help drive your success with working with bigger clients and asking for bigger dollars. And that's usually where we see the benefit of that, starting to choose a niche, choose a specific target market and work in that direction. Yep. All right. Awesome. Any other questions? I want to keep this open because we've got a little bit of time yet to take more questions if anybody has any. And there's a lot of people on the line here. Would love to hear from you, hear what you have going on and anything that you might need help with. All right. Leslie, I see your question. You're working on client research for an engineering client who will redo his firm's website. He has a company that will redesign the site. I've indicated I want to help him rewrite the web copy. I don't think he has a huge budget. Do I offer a per page rate and go from there? That's a good question. I have a lot of thoughts around this, and I am going to, Leslie, let me see if I can find you because I have a couple of questions here. Hey, Leslie, are you there?
Hello there. Hi.
Hi, hello again.
Good.
I think we spoke last time we were on the call, so great. Good. Well, I'm so glad that you've got this project. I think this is interesting because I know you're doing, yeah, this is client research. Are you doing any other kind of marketing type projects with this engineering firm?
Well, I started out doing project write-ups with him, and he's right, had me back for the second round. And then he said, oh, by the way, would you write an elevator speech? And that's what led to the client research. It said,
gotcha. Okay. That's right.
I can't just write an elevator. You know, I don't know enough to write an elevator speech. He said, well, you could come in and talk to our staff at a meeting. And then I said, well, I'd really like to talk to some of your clients, you know, and survey them. And I actually did my first survey today.
Oh, good.
So he was up great for that. And then he's got a company that will do like the, you know, the IT stuff of his website and make it mobile friendly and all that.
Make it pretty, all that good stuff. Do you happen to know if that web company already has writers that they work
with? No, because he said that he was supposed to provide the content. And
oh, perfect.
He hasn't met with them yet, but I think that's
good.
You know, that's the case. And I said, well, you know, and he's already got me writing content.
Perfect. So you can do a per page, but along the same lines, Leslie, I honestly would be careful about that. I would lean more towards an entire project. So take a look at his website today and evaluate it, you know, do an eval and maybe even give him this. Say, look, here's, you know, on your homepage, I recommend X, Y, and Z. On your about me page, I recommend you do this or that. You know, take a look at what he's already got, because there's some strategy involved here too. And yep, there's some consulting involved here too. So you want to understand again, what's the message? What do you want your website to do? And then come up with I will rewrite the copy. I will give you two rounds of editing, and I'll also give you, I'll work with you on the strategy and then come up with a project price for all that includes all of that. So,
okay. So start with a review of his website and
audit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Website audit of just the content, because you don't really care about anything else. It's, you know, yeah, that's what you're tasked with. And then, you know, make it clear that you really want to help him to, you know, to really get his message clear. Like if you look at his website and you think, oh gosh, this is really poorly written, which it very well may be if it's an engineering firm. And
it's an engineering ease. Yeah. Yeah.
So then you want to step back with him and say, okay, so let's talk again about who are you trying to attract? What's going to be impressive to them? What's going to be of benefit to that audience? And then how do we express that on your website? What's the best way that we can get these people's attention, your audience's attention, using your okay. So I definitely go for the combined. Yeah, I'll be happy to do the copy, but here's what we have to do first.
Yeah, I mean, that's even what I was thinking. You know, yeah, when he said,
"Yeah,
write me an elevator speech." You know, it's like going blindfold. You know,
100%. It really is. I mean, this is something that people don't understand the finer points of marketing. It's not just throwing something out on a blog or throwing something out on your website. You know, if you're going to invest, let's do it right. If you're going to take the time and invest, then let's make sure you do it right and that the website works for you and it does what you want it to do. So start with, what do you want the website to do? I mean, you're going through all this process, you're investing all this money. What do you want the website to do for you? And then who's it for? What kind of audience are you looking to attract? A new audience? Are you going to be expanding? Maybe his idea is, geez, I've been working with this industry. I want to expand into these industries. You know, mm-hmm. as an engineering firm, you might want to, you know, open up and grow and tell me about that. What are your plans for the future? We want to make sure that we we build all that in.
Okay.
And if we can now, let's talk about that now. So definitely I'd avoid it per page. Personally, I'd go with a project fee and here's what you get. And you could do, if you want to make him feel better, you could say, look, I'll do up to 4 rounds of editing, you know, or something, give him, you know, use that as a more of a negotiable. So say, hey, I'm happy to throw in a couple more rounds of editing if needed or something along those lines.
Well, I mean, a price, I'd have to have some idea of how many pages, but I can look at how many pages they have, I guess.
They currently have, right? Yeah. And that's another question. Are you... are you planning to keep it the same footprint, or are you getting rid of some pages? Are you adding any? What's your plan?
Okay.
So there's a lot of questions to ask before you can price it. Definitely do it as a project and say, you know what, I'll help you with your strategy.
Yeah. And I'll be positioned after doing these, you know, I'm talking to his 4 best clients and giving them these survey results. So that'll be a good segue as well.
Beautiful. Perfect timing. Perfect.
Yeah, that's been fun. Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot.
Great. Good luck, Leslie. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I definitely strongly recommend, and Ed does too, is to just be the consultant. Put your consulting hat on. Don't just be a writer. And you will get better pricing. You will have happier clients. They'll be able to trust you and rely on you. All right. Nick has another question, and this is about retainers. If you have time, how soon is too soon to suggest it? I think Ed compares it to proposing marriage on a first date if you jump in too early. But if a couple of or 3 small pieces go well, might it be worthwhile to just go for it? Yes. So absolutely, Nick. I think that... the first date analogy is perfect. Definitely you want to get to know the client and make sure A, that they can pay you, that you don't have to chase them forever. We've all been through that, trying to get clients to pay. So you want to make sure that it's the right client for you as well as the right project and you're the best resource for them. So get a couple of smaller projects that go well. Don't wait too long. You know, if you've got 3 different projects, 3 pieces, like you said, that went well, then it's time to sit down and have that, again, strategy conversation. Hey, I'm glad this is working out really well for me. And it looks like it's working out well for you. What do you see coming down the pipeline? Because I'd like to propose some type of an agreement, an arrangement that would be beneficial for both of us. That way, instead of a per project price, you're paying me a flat fee, and it would allow us to expand what the work we're doing together without it costing, and you'd be able to, you know, have a budget for it that would be in line with your budget. So yes, a couple of projects, and if you think it's going to continue, then definitely suggest a retainer. Definitely. Yeah, and Nicole, I saw your comment. Yeah, I think we got to that when I was talking with Leslie about how big the new website would be. I think we chatted about that. All right, just looking through. Great, Nick, I'm glad that helped. All right. And I know someone else made a comment here. I'm just looking through the... looking through the chat to see what else is going on out there. If there's any other questions, anything else that you need clarified? All right. And Beverly, hey there, Beverly. She's asking, do I have a few months to quickly explain how to create a Zoom recording with a screen share? I have a client with a new website who wants feedback, and I'd like to go over it the way you did for me. So Beverly, actually, if you would stay on the call here when we're done, I will be happy to show you how to do that. Great. Yes, you could stay. So once we're done with everybody else, if there aren't any other questions, I'm happy to help you. And if anyone else wants to stay on and go through it, there's a couple different, there's 2 different things, 2 different ways to do this. But the product that Ed and I use is Loom, L-O-O-M. And I'm happy to demonstrate that if I can. I'll do a quick screen share and show you how that works. It's pretty cool. Great. Yes, and Eva, thank you for that comment, because I see someone, it's L. Stern, and I apologize because your name is showing up as L. Stern. I'm not sure what your first name is, but you made a comment in the chat and wasn't sure if it was a question. Lucia. And so, yes, it's a question. Thank you. Thanks, Eva, for catching that, because I went right by it. All right, let me get back to that, Lucia, and read it. In terms of how to identify a client who may require more time and energy than they will be willing, likely be willing to pay for, the recent post on Facebook of an opportunity that Ed was contacted about reminded me of other similar potential opportunities that turned out to be time sinks. I looked at the website of this business owner, and it was difficult to tell what his business was and impossible to tell who would require services. So at that point, I would think that there's a problem that requires more than writing a sales page or a sales website. It's the ability of the business owner to clarify what he does. Absolutely, Lucia, I agree. That is a lot of what we've been talking about here today, is that we come across these clients, these potential clients who, oh, just, you know, edit my website or just throw up a sales page for me. And so there's two ways to approach it. And that's it's definitely what I would recommend and let them decide in terms of how they want to handle it. And it's exactly what I was recommending with Leslie, is that, also with Suzanne, I think, was there's a couple different ways to approach this. I can just edit what you have. I'll do my best based on whatever strategy you currently have, or I can help you to develop a good strategy and then edit what you already have or create a new sales page for you. So it's a good way to dive in and hopefully to, you know, kind of eliminate, weed out the people that just aren't going to pay. The last thing you want to get into, especially right now at this point in your business and what you're doing, is that you probably have enough work that you're starting to get busy, hopefully. And you don't want a client like this to come in and just suck all of your time up, and now you don't have quality time to devote to your other existing clients. So you want to be careful about that. But going in and offering them a couple of options is the best way to do it. So, you know, again, I'll do an eval of your, I'll do a quick audit of your current website, and I'll make suggestions. Here's what I think you need to do. And then second of all, you know, I can work off of your current strategy and create a page for you, or whatever the case may be, or I can partner with you to build a new strategy. And what'll end up happening is they'll look at the different price points of the different options, and they hopefully will come back and say, geez, I can't afford any of those. I have always tried to help clients like that, potential prospects like that, by referring them to other resources. Because you know what? If you can't afford me, it's really okay. But let me help you find someone who can. And oftentimes I'll refer them to places like Fiverr or Upwork or those kinds of places, because you can get things done pretty inexpensively there. If that's their budget, then that's what they need to work with. And Lucia, I hope that answers your question. I hope that addresses. If not, let me know in the chat here, and I'm happy to bring you on. All right, Sharon, good luck. Have a great day. Got it. Okay. So, Lucia, if you have, hopefully you're available. I'm going to go ahead and unmute you. Hello there. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi there.
Hi.
So yes, I just wanted to just chat with you about this, because I think this is definitely something that it sounds like there's more to it. And I apologize, because I was reading through your question. I thought I'd be able to answer that for you. But is it, you know, I saw a couple of comments about not sure, you know, how much we want to get into determining their, you know, figuring out whether or not they have a business model that works. And that was, I think, your last question. Is this a, one where you suspect that there's nothing behind this particular opportunity?
The kind of fantasy that, I mean, it just wasn't obvious at all what the business was. And when there's that much vagueness, it makes me suspect that there may not actually, many of the problems of starting a business or of identifying a business may not have been worked out. So the question becomes, do you want to get involved in that?
No. And that's why I was saying that, you know, putting on that consulting cap in this particular case, and then pricing it in a way that, you know, guess what? They're not going to go for it. And it just, sometimes I do that. I, you know, I use price as a tool to make sure that I'm working with the right people. Because if I did that recently with a client who wanted me to write a book for him and didn't want to pay me very much. And just was like, well, it's easy. You know, it's just write this book for me. Well, if it's that easy, then you could just probably do it yourself for free, right? You don't really need me. So it was a matter of him not understanding the process. I went through everything. He still didn't, you know, we didn't end up working together. And that was good because I knew that it was just going to be, I'd be cussing myself for months having taken on that project. So I think you got to go with your gut. And I think in your case, like what we're talking about here, I think your gut is spot on. There's probably not a lot of forethought or planning or strategy that's gone into this website and this market approach. And only you can decide whether or not you want to tackle that or not. And I'd say, I'd do thumbs down with that one personally. I'd say no, unless they sound like someone who's really open-minded and willing to learn and really wants your help and would respect you for it. But right. Got to be careful about that. And that's when a really good contract comes in too, a really good agreement saying, here's what I will do, here's what I won't do in this project. And maybe recommend them to a better resource for what their needs are.
Right, like a small business development group or something.
Sure, a business coach, maybe something like that. Who knows? Be a good opportunity to make a good referral.
Right, thank you.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
Thanks.
All right. Well, I am going to we're wrapping up here in terms of time. And I know a couple of people have had to jump off. I would love to hear from you in the chat if there's anything in particular that's been most valuable that we've been talking about today. We've talked about a lot of things, a lot about positioning early in the call. Got into pricing and how to help your clients recognize their blind spots. That's definitely a challenge sometimes, because I think that's what this is. And going with your gut, like I just mentioned to Lucia, is to, you really do need to go with your gut on some of these. Just every time I've accepted a project that I knew in my heart was probably a big mistake, it turned out to be a big mistake. It always turned out to be something that I wish I hadn't taken on. That's just the way it goes. So anybody who's got any takeaways, anything valuable so far, most valuable, or anything? I'm going to move on to the next one too. Or any top takeaways, either or. Karen says, realizing a client may be confused and that's the first step. Absolutely. Suzanne, you have to go. Great. Hope this was good and you have a great rest of the week too. Nicole said, the idea of placing a value on my consulting. Absolutely. Eva said she likes the two options, edit according to marketing or help with marketing. Yeah, great. Be a consultant. I love it. Packaging web page rewrite, Hillary says, with consulting. I could use this for a proposal coming up. Great. Absolutely. this is another great way to differentiate ourselves as writers. Like, don't just be that writer that I could, if I just needed a writer, I'd go to Upwork. I'd go to Fiverr and just find a writer. But a great way to prove that there's value and to demonstrate that there's value is to be that consultant as well. Especially once you've done, you know, you do a handful of websites and you're starting to see how all of this comes together and why websites need to be strategically designed and not from a graphic perspective necessarily, but from a content perspective. Tanya says, realizing you'll pivot many times. Oh, yes, you will. Yes, you will. I think I finally found my spot, finally. But it's taken a while and many pivots. Oh, there you go. Monica, I love it. ABC, always be consulting. I'm going to do a meme and post that in the Facebook group. Love that. And you're also not the only one with questions. Definitely not. That's why we do these calls. All right. Create breathing room with yourself with retainers. Yeah, definitely. Oh my goodness. When I started getting regular work that I knew I could depend on, it allowed me to exhale as opposed to constantly feeling like I had to find new clients. So I love that. ABC, that's my new thing. ABC, always be consulting. That's ABD, always be differentiating. It's the same thing. It's the best way to differentiate. So awesome. Awesome. All right. And we'll wrap up with a top action item. Is there anything in particular that you are going to, whether something we talked about today or something you're already working on, what's the top thing you're going to take action on in the next week or so? This has been a good group and a good conversation here today. Beverly, master recordings with screen share. Absolutely. Awesome. Let me see. Nicole, planning an ideal week. Time management. Good for you. Let us know on Facebook how that goes. Karen is going to reposition herself on our website and pivot again. Eva's sending out more warm email prospecting. Then my fingers can type. Love it. Tanya, pick a target market and create a value statement. Lucia's completing a storyboard for a video project. That's cool. That's really fun work. Leslie, add new media to my LinkedIn profile and update my summary. Marcia says, keep trying to figure out whether I know enough to be a marketing consultant. I've turned down several jobs flatly recently because the people wanted results and I simply didn't know how I could help them get those results. That's a little bit different, Marcia, than what we've been talking about here today. And Nick says, go for a retainer. Good for you. But as far as being a marketing consultant, I think it's a fine line that we walk because I agree with you. If someone said, okay, how do we determine the exact wording that's going to have results where I'm going to achieve X number of sales or X number of responses. That is something that is a science and an art and definitely needs to be studied with people who are experts in that. That's something I'm not an expert in. And I think that what we've been talking about today is being that consultant in regards to more messaging. When I talk about strategy, I want to make sure that I understand who your target audience is. I really want to understand the demographics. What's important to them? Like Leslie was saying, she has the opportunity to do these surveys with the client's top four clients. That's really awesome. And that's the kind of information that you need to be able to write really good copy on the website. Not everyone that we encounter is going to be looking for those hard and fast results. So I think that generally speaking, when we talk about diving into strategy, we can really talk about, let's make sure that that your messaging is clear. This is all about messaging, strategy for your messaging, and make sure that that messaging is uniform across your website and your social media presence and those types of things. Monica took action on Ed's suggestion to my question about case studies. I was shut down and charging separately for strategy and case studies, and they agreed to a per project rate rather than hourly rate. Great, Monica. And I need to determine my charge for the strategy. Great. That's a wonderful step in the right direction. Oh, it's a great interaction back and forth here. So thank you, Eva. And Beverly. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. As always, it's been awesome. You guys are terrific. I love it when everybody comes in with lots of questions and lots of comments, and everyone helps each other. So makes this a lot of fun for me, and hopefully valuable for all of you who are listening. So until next time, I am going to say goodbye for Beverly. If you want to stay on the line with me here, we'll wait for everyone to exit, and then I'll help you out with that. But thanks again to all of you, and have a terrific week.